I was talking to one of our men. It's been about 3 or 4 weeks ago, and they were telling me something that they didn't think I wanted to hear. And they got done, and they said, "Preacher, I hope I haven't offended you." And I said, "No, I appreciate what you've told me." I said, anybody that tries to offend me is going to have to work really hard. Because one of my favorite verses is this verse that we read for our scripture verse this morning. "Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them." Amen. And so I told him, if you're going to try to offend me, you're going to have to work really, really hard to offend me. You see, I'm glad that God in his book not only tells us about how much he loves us and tells us about how to get saved, but he also tells us how to live. The Bible is a very practical book. Jesus said in the book of John, "I've come not only to give you eternal life, but life more abundantly." And the Bible tells us how to have that abundant life. And oftentimes we miss the abundant life because the abundant life is associated with some of the promises in the Bible. And sometimes we don't have enough faith to believe those promises. Enough faith to act on the promise. Enough faith to believe God can do what he says he can do. And we miss out on something that God wants to give us because we don't exercise the faith to receive it. I don't know about you, but I don't like to miss anything, especially the stuff that God is passing out. Adam's gone now, and I've told you the story before, but I'm always glad when he's not in the room when I tell it. When he was still at home, and I would take him to Sam's on Saturday, and some of you have heard this story before if you've been around long enough, and we would go to Sam's, and I would like to go to Sam's and graze. They've had all these samples. You know, if you've been to Sam's, they have stand here, and on Saturday it's twice as much as any other day. And I said, "Now, Adam, I know you get a little bit embarrassed by your dad sometime, but I just want you to go with me and we'll have lunch." Of course, he didn't know that lunch was going to be at the different stands. And so we would go to this stand, and then we would go to this stand, and then we would go to this stand, and we'd get a couple of things from each thing, and, you know, we'd eat it as we'd walk to the next one. And, you know, we'd spend a couple hours in Sam's grazing. Of course, Patty would like me to go to Sam's now in a couple hours, but I'm older now. I can't walk as much as I used to. And so I don't go and spend a couple hours, but he would be so embarrassed. His face would be red, and he'd be looking down at the floor. He'd be shaking his head, and he'd say, "Dad, are we almost done? Are we almost done? Can we go home?" Of course, I haven't invited him lately, so I don't know how he'd respond today. But I don't want to miss anything, especially the things that God is passing out. And so many times we do because we just don't appropriate, we don't take what God has given us. I've told you the story before about the young man from West Virginia, Ed's home state, grew up in poverty, and he made a promise to his mother. He says, "When I make it big in the world, I'm going to take care of you." And so he went out into the world, and he was successful. And every week, he would send a money order home to his mom. And he hoped when he finally got to come back home, he would find her living in a better house with indoor facilities and electric lights and, you know, just improve her lot in life. So he'd send her a substantial amount of money every week in the form of a money order. About 2 years before he got to go back home, and when he drove up, it was the same shack. Still had the outhouse out to the side. Still, you know, just nothing. And he goes into the house and, of course, greets his mom warmly. And he says, "Mom, how come you haven't spent any of the money to improve things around here, the money that I sent you?" She said, "Well, I never got any money from you." And he said, "Yeah, I sent it to you. I sent you some money every single week in the form of a money order." And she said, "A what?" He said, "A money order." And she took him into the bedroom, and she had all the money orders pasted to the wall. She had no idea what they were. And so many times, God promises us stuff, And we don't take advantage, we don't appropriate what he has for us as part of this abundant life that he wants us to have. Now, I want to speak to you about one of those things that he wants us to have. Great peace. Amen. Great peace. Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. A part of the abundant life that God wants each of his children to have is great peace. Now again, we talked a little bit about it in Sunday school. Peace is the cessation of hostility. No war, no fighting, no fussing. But God's peace is much more than that. It's completeness. It's soundness. Philippians 4 talks about it when it says, be careful for nothing. Don't worry about anything. But in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ. That's the kind of peace that God wants every one of his children to have. A peace that goes beyond what the world can understand. A peace that can keep your hearts and minds, regardless of what's going on around you, regardless of the circumstances that are present in your life. A peace of God that will keep your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ. That's the kind of peace that God wants us to have. Regardless of our circumstances, to know that he's going to keep us. To know that he's going to provide what we need. To know that he is there with us. And regardless of what's going on, we can depend on him. It reminds me of the story of the two guys that went coon hunting one night. And they let the dogs go, and the dogs treed a coon. At least they thought it did. And they came to the base of the tree, and they both looked up at it, and they said, one of us got to go up that tree to get the coon. So they drew straws. One guy drew the short straw. He climbed up the tree. His partner, who was standing at the ground, thought he had enough time to get to the top. So he whispered, hey, is there a coon up there? And a shaky voice came back from the tree. No, there ain't a coon up here. There's a bobcat up here. And his partner said, what do you want me to do? And a shaky voice came back from the tree. I want you to shoot up here and give one of us some relief. Either kill me or kill the bobcat. I don't care, because I don't want to live like this. And that's the way many Christians live. They live like they're up a tree with a bobcat. They're nervous, and they're anxious, and they're worried. And God said, I don't want you to live like that. I want you to have great peace, even if you are up a tree with a bobcat, even if your world is falling apart, even though there are things in your life that the world said, man, you ought to be worried about this, and you ought to be worried about this, and you ought to be worried about this. God said, no, I don't want you to worry. I want you to depend on me. I want you to lean on me. I want to give you that, not only my peace, I want to give you great peace that regardless of the circumstances, you can just depend on me. Now, how do we get it? This verse tells us, very simple. They that love thy law. The law of God, the Bible. They that love this book, God says, they that read this book, they that study this book, they that memorize this book, they that meditate in this book, they that obey this book, if you do all that, and you'll do all that if you love it, amen? If you love this book, you will read it. If you love this book, you will study it. If you love this book, you will stay in it and meditate in it and obey it. And God says, if you love this book, I will give you great peace. First of all, he'll give us great peace with him. Great peace with God. It says in Romans chapter 5, verse 1, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. You don't read very far in this book. In fact, you don't get past the first three chapters until you find out that we are at war with God. Our sins make us enemies with God. We were created to fellowship with Him. We were created to be with Him, but our sin separates us from Him. The Bible says we're in enmity with Him. And there's no way we can end the war. There's no way we can end the fight. We can't work our way through it. We can't give our way through it. We can't be good enough to make peace with God. There's nothing we can do to end the conflict. But if you go on in the book, in fact, if you read from the same chapter that tells us about sin, it tells us that God has a plan and has had before the foundation of the world was laid. He's had a plan for all eternity how man and God can have peace again. And this is the gospel. It's what the Bible is all about. God wants the war over. He wants the separation to end. And so He sent His Son, Jesus Christ, to die for our sins. He took all of my sins. He took of all of your sins. And as Jesus hung on the cross, He laid all of our sins upon His Son. And on the cross, Jesus Christ paid for our every sin. Our every sin was paid for by the Son of God. And because Jesus paid the price, God's able to offer to every person a gift. The Bible says the wages of sin is death, what we deserve because we're sinners, what we've earned because we're sinners. But the gift of God, a gift because Jesus paid the price. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. And so the war can be ended. The conflict can be ended. We can have great peace with God by trusting in what Jesus did for us on Calvary. John 1:12 says, "But as many as received Him, to them gave He the power to become the sons of God, even to those that believe on His name." The war can be over. You can have great peace with God because of what Jesus did on Calvary. When I accept what He did on Calvary for me, the Bible says that I'm justified. I'm made as if I've never sinned. And I can have peace with my Creator. I can have peace with my Heavenly Father. I want to tell you something. There's nothing worse than being at war with God. Nothing. I know people that if you look at their life, you would say they have everything they want. They have material possessions in abundance. They apparently have a good marriage, good relationship with their kids. And I've talked to person after person. From a worldly standpoint, they have everything that the world has to offer. But if you talk to them and you get to know them, they all say the same thing. There's something missing. There's something not quite right in my life. I don't know what it is. I have everything that the world says that I need to be happy, but I'm not happy. There's something missing in my life. And I can tell them, and you can too, well, the thing that's missing in your life is a relationship with God. You can have all the world has to offer, but if you don't have a relationship with God, there will be something missing in your life. And so, I can love the law of God, and I can have great peace because this book tells me how I can have that great peace with God through Jesus Christ. I can not only have great peace with God, but I can have great peace with myself. The Bible says, be careful for nothing. As Christians, we do too much worrying. We do too much fretting. As a result, we don't have peace with ourselves. I'm going to remind you a couple things this morning. Every person here is special to God. He knows the details of your life. He knows what's going on in your life at this very moment. He knows what you need. And He says, I don't want you to worry. I know what you need. I know what you need. I know that you have, that you know that you need food, and I know that you need clothing, and I know that you need shelter. And he said, Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount, hey, look at the birds. I take care of them. I feed them. Look at the lilies of the field. I clothe them. They don't spin. I take care of them. And I'll take care of you. And they that love this book will read verses like Philippians 4:19, where the Bible says, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. They'll read verses like 1 Peter 5:7, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. They'll read verses like Philippians chapter 4, 6, and 7, the one we read a moment ago, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. When we love this book, we will not only have great peace with God, we can have great peace with ourselves. And then number three, when we love this book, we can have great peace with others. With others. Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. What's the main reason we don't have peace with other people? We get offended. We get offended. Somebody says something, or they do something, or they don't do something, and we get offended. And when we get offended, we have conflict. And maybe conflict's not, maybe conflict's too strong of a word, but there's just something that's not right in our relationship. Everything's not okay between us. Now, I'm almost done, but I want you to stop and think with me for a minute. Who's the only person you can't offend? Some people say, well, I can't offend my dad. And I would say, well, you need to think about this, because you can offend your father. Some people might say, well, I don't think I could offend my mother. Well, I would have you think about that too. I think you could offend your. I think we can offend our mothers. Some people might say, "Well, I cannot offend my spouse." Well, you haven't been married very long, because you can offend your spouse. You might say, "Well, I have a best friend. I don't think I could offend my best friend." Well, I'd have you think about that. You could probably offend your best friend. Who's the only person you can't offend? A dead person. Amen. Stop and think about it. You can't offend a dead person. I've stood by a casket and I've heard, seen people come up there and say, oh, they look so good. They look so natural. I'm expecting the person in the casket to say, you mean I looked like this when I was alive? Come on. Or they say, and they'll come up and they'll say good things about the person that's lying. And there's nothing wrong with that. But I'm going to have Adam put a little speaker in my casket. And if you come up and say he looks so natural, I'm going to have a recording that says, oh, I hope I looked better when I was alive than I do now. But they say good things about people, and I want the person in the casket to say, why didn't you tell me that when I was alive? Why'd you wait till I was dead? You can't offend a dead person. If I love this book, I'm going to read verses like 1 Corinthians 15:31, where Paul says, I die daily. I die daily. I am dead to myself. I want to live for Christ. I'm dead to my desires. I want to let him live through me. I'm dead to my wants. I want to do his will. And when we get to the point where we die to self, it's going to be really hard for somebody to offend us. And so we'll have great peace with others. because there's nothing they can do to offend us. Because we love this book. So here's one of the promises and a secret of the... Now somebody's beeping. I know it's 12 o'clock. Turn your beeper off. I can still hear. I'm almost done. Now I'm going to preach 5 minutes longer because somebody had their beeper going. You clap, but you want me to quit just like everybody else. Now I forgot where I was. Oh, so here's a promise. Here's one of the secrets of the abundant life that God wants us to know. I want you to have great peace. Great peace. I want you to have great peace with me. I want you to have great peace with yourself. And I want you to have great peace with others. And you can find how to have that great peace in this book. And if you love it, you'll read it. And if you'll read it, you'll find it. Amen. And you'll have, and you'll know how to appropriate it, how to take it, how to claim it, how to use it. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for wanting us to have an abundant life and telling us in this book how to get it. And Father, I pray first of all for those that don't have that great peace with you. They're here this morning, still in under the condemnation of their sin because they've never come to Jesus and received the sacrifice, the payment that he made for them on Calvary. And Father, I pray that now you'll have the Holy Spirit speak to those. Help them understand they're still a sinner. Help them understand there's a penalty for that sin. But help them see that Jesus paid the price. And if they'd simply come to him and receive what he purchased for them on Calvary, he'll give them great peace with you. And then, Father, when we have that great peace with you, we can have that peace with ourselves because we know that we can depend on you. And, Father, we can have that great peace with others because we die to self. We die to self and want your will. I pray that you'll bless this invitation. I pray that you'll speak to those who came this morning with a heart that needs something, a heart that needs Jesus, a heart that needs encouragement, a heart that just needs something. I pray, Holy Spirit, you'd speak to them. You'd work in their life this morning. I pray if they need to come, they would come in just a minute. If they need to make a decision for you, they'd make that decision and then make it public so that we could pray with them. And so, Father, I pray you bless this time of invitation. Use it as you see fit to build your kingdom. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.